Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The performance of Running Commentary is about to start. Now, owing to some technical difficulties, the part of Paul Tonkinson today will be played by Sooty, who is also currently appearing at Park Dean Resorts. But we do have a special guest for you tonight. None other than Tony Audenshaw from the recurring drama that is Immerdale. All slides, please.
With Paul Tonkinson and Rob Deering.
Good morning.
Hey, lads. Up,
and we're already experiencing the gradient of, we're in the High Peak area.
Yeah, it's called that for gorgeous. A reason.
Yeah.
We've got wine regret, cheese and wine regret.
I'm not regretting anything, or I wasn't until we started going up this hill. So where are you taking us today?
Right, I'm going to do a little loop. We're in a place called New Mills, which was named after some new mills. Not to be confused with New Mill,
right?
Which is up near Holmfirth. I had a mate who came over for the weekend and got a great Airbnb. Unfortunately, it was in New Mill and not in New Mills.
That's not as great, is it?
No.
I think also, I never understood New Mills because I haven't seen the old mills.
Yeah. Let's slow down because this is quite a long hill. But I thought what we'd do, get the big hill out of the way first.
Good.
And then it's all sort of down and undulating.
Nice.
But see, as you can see, we're in an area here with quite a few houses and what have you. But within a few hundred yards, we'll be out in pretty much open countryside by doing this. But we will need life support.
Yeah, we're earning it. If you'd have told us this, we could have started recording at the top. But it's so lovely around here. We noticed driving in, it's like a dream world, isn't it?
It's brilliant place to run. One, we've got hills. We're only 10 miles from the start of the Pennine Way, Edale.
Great.
But also, we've got a lot of flat because we've got two old disused railway lines. Oh. Flat as a pancake.
Lovely.
And also the Peak Forest Canal.
Wow.
Which against flat, it goes on for miles and miles.
See, those Victorians, they knew how to lay out a good running route, didn't they?
Yeah, they certainly did.
They knocked up some mills, some canals and railway lines. We did a railway line last week on our hot run in Oxfordshire, and I think on any other day, it would just be perfect, but it was a little bit daunting because it was so hot.
It was a bit dull, like, aren't they?
It's like a very narrow desert, wasn't it? Stretching out ahead of us. It's perfect, isn't it? It's all perfect here, Tony. I think we're going to be staying.
Well, I've got a spare room. Don't tell anybody from down south. It's cheap as well.
That's right.
Once you're at the top here, there's another one.
Oh, great. I noticed earlier on you said it undulates and it sounded nice, but you know what that really means? It goes down and it goes up, and it goes down and it goes up. It goes down and it goes up. Yeah, I was in Clitheroe, which there had never been.
Famous for sausages.
Yeah, well, and not, you know, I was just, maybe I had preconceived ideas, I don't know, but it was really nice. And I was doing an arts centre gig. I said to the audience, I said, it's really nice here, isn't it? And they said, yeah. And I said, you don't want anyone to know that, do you? And they said, no.
Morning.
So, anyway, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We've been looking forward to running with you for a while.
Me too.
I mean, people who are listening to a bunch of running podcasts will know you from Marathon Talk, Tony's Trials. But this is an entirely different beast.
Yeah. I've got a big cycling event on Saturday.
What's that?
Wales in a Day.
Ooh.
Which is what it says. You start at Carnarvon,
right,
and cycle down to Chepstow in a day.
Ooh.
So 185 mile. And
wow.
Obviously I'm from a running background and I've cycled socially over the years. And in April, I suddenly thought, oh no, I've got this huge great cycle to do. And I just go out for a ride, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I started to wear a heart rate monitor, which I used to use a lot in my running. And I realised it was under 100 beats nearly all the time, so I'm not working at all.
Not pushing it, yeah, yeah.
No, so...
Is that good or bad?
It's... Yeah. Bad.
We were saying that the other day, that when you're training, basically, no matter how fit you are, unfit or fit, if you're not pushing it, you're not changing. You know, you can be super fit. If you go out and do a run that doesn't make you get out of breath, you're not getting any fitter.
Yeah. Have you ever trained by heart rate?
No.
Oh, yeah. I had a period where I wasn't really making much progress. And I got a book, which I've lent somebody, and I can't remember who it is, and I've never got it back. But
great, I'd like to read that.
Yeah, about heart rate training. And I don't know if it was right or wrong or whatever, but I sort of put all my belief in it at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And found it brilliant and got really, really fit. The discipline of running sometimes a lot slower than you would.
Yeah.
And other times, faster than you naturally would.
It's amazing talking about this as we come up. We're coming up by a couple of dry stone walls. I think possibly getting towards the top of this morning.
Yeah.
I'm going ahead of you.
There's a mouse in that field as well. Morning.
It's kind of a...
Yeah.
And there's a natural temptation in life to bite off more than you can chew. You know, it's kind of, I've done this, now I double it. And you should always just push into it just a bit more, just a bit more. Is that true? I don't know.
I don't know this way, straight on.
Did you run at school?
No, well, a little bit of cross country.
Yeah.
I'd go for a jog and that, but nothing too much. It was only, I put a lot of weight on when we had kids.
Right.
And wanted to lose some weight in 96. And my mum was ill at the time, and I went and got a place for... No, I didn't. Did I? I was either Manchester.
Well, if you
in Manchester
know.
Was my first one. It's a long while ago. I'll make it. Yeah, I was an astronaut at the time.
So it's 96 and you entered 96. Something.
I did the Manchester Marathon.
Right.
Not knowing what to expect,
yeah.
Really, at all. And did it, and it was horrendous. You know, the last 6 miles was something like an experience before. And I thought, never again, that is it. What a stupid thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And then 3 years later, put more weight on. And I know it's a bit unfashionable to lose weight through running now, but at the time, it was okay.
Yeah,
it'll
yeah,
come
yeah.
round okay again in a few years. And so I entered New York then.
Right.
That's when my mum was ill and got a cancer research place, it was at the time. And did New York and aimed for 4 hours and just got it.
Brilliant.
And then just got into it and started doing. Because, of course, when you start running, you run consistently.
Yeah.
You knock chunks of time off.
Yeah, it's sort of low-hanging fruit. And it's great what you're saying, so it's nice, I don't know, hopefully, nice for people to hear that sense that even people who really kind of get into running as a kind of lifelong thing, that first marathon, that first big run, I was just the same as you, I just thought, I'm never again.
Horrible.
This is a terrible idea.
Yeah. I did 4:24, I remember picking up some discarded Dextrosol at mile 23.
Are you sure it was Dextrosol?
Yeah, it might not have been. But what a boost, we're going left here. Up Stony Peace Farm.
Oh.
Hey,
cows.
But I found that just through training, and I was going for 3:30, and then I got 3:30.
Yeah.
And then kept training, got under 3:15. If you can stay injury free and you're consistent, then you reap the rewards. And you get used to running in that discomfort zone.
Yeah.
Some people don't like to feel
yes.
uncomfortable, whereas actually, I don't know, I find that I get to a speed. Oh, I don't want to go any faster than that. But then actually you go beyond that.
Yep.
And again, it feels a bit better.
Yeah.
We're nearly at the top of this hill.
Yeah, in a way, it is. What you're doing is you're circumventing your body's natural defence systems. You know, your body's basically going, are you sure? And when you say, yep, yeah, I'm sure, I want to keep running, I want to go faster than this, your body kind of, all those yellow lights go off.
I'm going to blindfold you now and see if you can get back.
I thought, it's okay, I can see you. You see a thing. Look at this is great. But also, one of Paul's great mantras, which is really good, is that marathon training is about getting used to running when you're tired.
Yeah. You've got to get yourself in that position in the race where you've still got something to give, haven't you? Dwight York did it one year and he said, you know, I was on for whatever it was. I was on for 3:30. And then just those last 6 miles, if it wasn't for them, I'd have got it. And you hear that all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's what it's about.
You have to run all 26.2 of the miles. Damn it.
Well, I got to 3:08. And then I worked really, really hard and really, too hard really, and I got obsessed with it. And to try and beat three, well, 2004, so what's that? 30, I don't know. I'm 53 now.
Years ago.
And I got in really good shape, and actually, it was the first day I met Tom Williams from Marathon Talk. It would be 2000 and something. And I knew Tom's wife Helen because she was the photographer at work at Emmerdale, so I used to go running with her, and he was going for 3 hours as well. We met on the day and we ran together, not really knowing each other. It was actually brilliant.
Oh yeah,
because we didn't say much. He'd go perfect every now and again, and he just wanted to keep up with them and get round. But at mile 20 he said, I've got to go, and he went in the portaloos under the with gloves on, and I think those gloves were pivotal in him not doing it. Well, then I'm on my own, you know, with a 6 mile to go, and I was still on for it. Come on, I'm gonna do it. And then I got to the bit just less than a mile to go after you turn the corner by Big Ben.
Yeah.
And you know they do that thing where they move the crowd across the road.
Oh God, yeah.
Well, I was on a line, and they came out and they came across
they
the road with
it.
The tape. And then so I went the other way, and then they went back the other way.
Oh no.
Instead, and I had to go around, and I did 3 hours and 4 seconds. I got back to Stockport Arias, the track, and Beave, the coach, went, what the bloody hell were you doing? You know, no, well done.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just what I needed.
Four.
And then when I tried it again, I went to Dublin and just snuck under, to, you know, and Beave said, no bloody waving at people.
But it's those margins, you know, that closing that route, that did it. And also, we were very sympathetic with our friend Kate Carter. She's 3007, 3004, that's even closer.
It's hard, isn't it? But
you went and got it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a number, isn't it, really? But I realise, you know, I had a big turning point.
Yeah, but it's easy to say it's just a number when you did get it.
Like, yes.
There's some people with their 3 hours and two, or indeed 4 hours and 2 seconds, who spend the rest of time going,
yeah,
just a number. Who was it the other day who got 4 hours and no seconds? It's just brilliant because they're going, oh, I can't believe you didn't get sub 4. It's like, yeah, but you hit it right on. You just get a special prize.
And then I trained really hard for 2 years, wanting to beat that time. You know, and it was like to the family, I've just got, I can maybe get 2:55. And I got 2:58.49 at London. And I knocked 19 seconds off from 2 years' work.
Oh.
And I thought, what am I doing here? I'm putting too much time into something I'm not getting enough reward from, and chasing times. And
while these guys are coming over the stile, I'm setting up a photo of this incredible place we're going next. Look at that.
Yeah, so we're up on quite a wide, it's almost like a cart trail, isn't it, this? Yeah, this was the main road into London up until 5 years ago.
Aye, and we were happy with it.
But it's a lovely, wide, sandy path. Yeah. Which is nice, because for group runs, you can...
Yeah.
We're three abreast here.
Does it get manky in winter? Does it get all muddy and...
Yeah, muddy and snowy and...
Yeah.
But it's been very dry, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Particularly up here, I think it's... Particularly when you're cycling on the trails, it's made a big difference this year. I'm more of a social runner now, and I've not... done a marathon for 3 years now. I'm signed up for Yorkshire in October.
We're all doing that, aren't we? No, Paul's in Dubai.
I'm relatively aerobically fit because of all the cycling I've been doing. I've dropped a bit of weight over the last few months, and I'm quite strong, but running wise, yeah, I've not done much. But you know, if I get some good training sessions in, start picking up my threshold runs, once this bike ride's out the way. But they don't mix.
No, they don't.
Biking
do they?
And running, no.
Yeah, just a whole different set of muscles.
Yeah.
My friend did. Well, he is quite a foolish friend, but he trained for London, just did loads and loads of cycling. And then he was having a bit of trouble. He went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "What have you been doing?" And he said, "I've been cycling." So, well, it was a waste of time. Terrible idea. He said, "You've got fallen arches, you've got terrible feet." And he said, "Can I run?" He said, "You can run the London Marathon, and then you must never run again." And my friend said, "I can accept that."
He needs a different doctor.
Yeah, that's right. He did the London Marathon, went straight to the pub and started drinking. He hasn't stopped.
But sometimes you do, don't you? If you go to a medical professional, they'll say what they want to say. Well, if they don't run or they don't exercise,
no, they'll say,
don't do it. If you go to one who does run, they'll go, "Oh, yeah, keep on going." Yeah, you know,
absolutely.
Something might happen.
No, we get a very nuanced relationship with kind of injury and how much you're taxing yourself, don't you? It's like,
yeah,
you know, I've got a problem with this. And you can't say to me, "Don't run," what are you going to say? That's what you want to hear.
Actually, if you look behind us here, if you look over there, it's Kinder Plateau. Kinder Scout, which is where the mass trespass happened that opened up all the lands for the people, you know, against the landowners.
The concept of footpaths.
And if you go just over there, 10 miles where that's Edale, where the Pennon Way starts, beautiful open moorland, it's amazing up there. You've got the Dart Peak, which is that bit, because it's the stone that it is, grit stone, and then you go a bit further south towards Buxton, you've got the White Peak, which is limestone. And they look quite different, they're quite defined. Obviously, you can see here the walls are a dark stone. You go down there, they're sort of a light colour, and it's a beautiful area.
It's absolutely fantastic.
It's a cracking place, it's great for running and outdoor stuff. It's within half an hour of Manchester on the train. We've got two stations, a theatre. Oh, it's just a
remember, this is on tape. You don't want people to know.
No.
I mean, it's rubbish. It's a really ugly bus station.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this now. We've come over the ridge.
Yeah, so this is Manchester in front of us.
Wow.
Manchester, okay, so much to answer for.
You dreary Mancunian skyline.
Hilton Hotel, standing proudly.
I did a show there once.
Did you?
Yeah.
The Sky Bar?
Yeah, it was a pretty tough corporate, and you know, suddenly staying in that hotel felt like kind of like ashes in the mouth. People come up and say, "What are you doing here?" "I don't know." That's fantastic, isn't it?
Seven
like
big fat cows as well there in a field,
standing on the wall.
Yeah, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Right, keep running, running.
So this is as high as it gets. You'll be glad to hear. I mean, it used to be the Scouts. When I was a kid, and my friend House always used to go on about the Bullock Smithy, which is an event 56 miles right through Derbyshire, Dark and White Peak, with checkpoints that you could run or walk. We're going left here. And it's been going for 40 years, this thing. The Bullock Smithy, which is the original name of a place called Hazel Grove, which sounds right. Beautiful.
Yeah.
It isn't. But the course itself is amazing.
Oh, so I love
it. I used to go on about this thing. Why would anybody want to do that?
Oh, so
of course, you have the pain of a marathon. I think, why would anybody want to do more than 26 miles?
Yeah.
But actually, it's very different because you're going a lot slower.
Yeah.
It doesn't really get any worse.
Yeah.
20 mile on, you feel rough, and you just feel rough for the next 36 miles.
Yeah, right. So there's a point in it up ahead.
Right over there.
Yeah.
Right, well, here's the trig here. That over there,
yeah,
I think, is South Head.
Nice.
I think, which is... No, it's not. I don't know where that is.
Oh!
It's... Well, can we get geography right? It must be near the Goyt Valley somewhere. Oh, that is Shining Tor.
Very good, Shining Tor.
Yeah.
And this helicopter's going to come around and shoot at us like the end of From Russia With Love.
Now, the reason that I've brought you this way...
Yep.
...is one of our amazing local landmarks... It's just here, which is Cobden Cross.
Nice.
And Cobden Cross was built by the Union of Churches in 1970.
Right.
And stood proudly on this hillside for 48 years. And then 3 years ago, the top of it blew off in the wind. And it became known as Cobden Tea. But you've chosen this week to come and they've taken it down.
I know.
It's been there 48 years and it's gone.
Cobden not.
Cobden nothing there.
Cobden lump. Well, that's a shame.
It is a shame because it's quite a striking image, that. They did a fell race here, the Fox Inn 4 it was called, and this was mile 3. I mean, what a view you got there as you went over.
Yeah, yeah. With a massive cross, it must be a little bit kind of like, you know, if you're feeling it, it's a little bit of a taxing religious moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, look at this.
It is, it's a huge great thing. I don't know, 30 foot tall or something.
Yeah. Except right now, it really isn't.
No, it's cost of been getting money to it. £25,000 it's cost to get a new one. I've got to say, I think I could have done one cheaper than £25,000.
You go and and get you standing next to the cross. There it is. Look at that amazing scene with the cross.
Somebody's written something in small stones here, and I can't work out. Lazy something, lazy.
That looks like an M.
It does look like an M, doesn't it? I don't know. Right, down here, it's a bit slippy here.
You know, we've got southern listeners who like, it's like a kind of crazy magic, you know. Bullock, what's it called? Bullock...
Bullock Smithy.
Bullock Smithy. See, you can't say that in my accent. Oh, yes, I was doing the Bullock Smithy. And
whoa!
I'm going all right here, but I nearly ran into you really bad. Sorry.
But it's a cracking race. It's very special around this area, and it's something where... Marathon Talk, I do this piece, Tony's Trials. It's normally a written piece that I record and then edit and then... send off to
so
him.
So you write and edit.
Yeah.
We should do that, Paul.
Well, it is quite time consuming. That's the only thing. So like with the Bullock Smithy, I'll do live like you do, this sort of style.
Yeah.
And then just cut out the rubbish bits afterwards.
Cut out the rubbish bits? We should do that, Paul.
Right, we're going down here now.
It was steep, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is steep. And that was part of the race, that descent.
Wow.
What an image, though, there. Imagine that cross. Just imagine a huge cross there.
Well, we're going to have to, aren't we?
And runners jumping over there and then falling on the way down, face planted.
People must come down there pretty badly. It's basically a gully. Yeah, well, you said take care, and I kind of heard the words and then started running down it and thought, oh, my God.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back, and we do hope you've availed yourself of the wide range of confectionery items in the foyer, and that you will consume them in silence. Thank you. Now, in the second half, we speak to Tony about his acting role in Emmerdale. How long have you been doing it for, Tony?
18 years, a long, long time.
The farm was still on the title then?
Yeah, and that's long gone. Obviously, it's very different. It used to be 2 shows a week, I think, in the daytime.
Yeah.
And now it's 6, goes out 6 times a week.
Yeah.
Which is good for us actors and everybody who works there because they need more of us. But it's a great place to run as well because the studios are right in the middle of Leeds and people who know Leeds.
I was just going to say.
It's got a great canal. It's got mile
right
markers.
There for a second. I was going to say, Tony, it's fictional. You're going there for a run in Emmerdale.
We do have a race occasionally, you know. It's nothing like a race you've ever been to. Yeah, yeah. People don't have numbers, and it's a lovely place to work. Yeah. Really lucky. It's honestly great people. It's a laugh. There's a lot of family people there.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, TV and the industry. There are a few idiots, let's face it. You know, there's a lot of ego. I think it's part of the thing to be, people need confidence. And certainly, you know, people turn up occasionally. Oh, this will be interesting. No, I say it's great for running. The canal's great. The village is in the grounds of Howard House. And you've got a great Eckup Reservoir. You're out on the trails.
So you can actually go in.
Sometimes you'll get a day when you have a big gap, you know, between scenes. You might be in at 7:30.
So what?
You finish by 9 o'clock.
If we're watching it and you look a bit sweaty, you've been out for a trip between scenes.
No, you've got to always go back then and have a shower and get remade up. So it's dependent on if makeup have got time to redo you.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the show, I've got like a big 50s quid. Well, what's left of it? I've not got much hair left up there now. So
yeah,
I can't go on looking sweaty.
Apparently, Simon Pegg got fit during the making of his second Mission Impossible film, Mission Impossible: Ghost Protocol, and it's kind of recorded pretty much in order. And if you watch carefully, you can see him kind of puff up as the film goes on.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Which is nice.
I've had a very busy year where my character, who's always been sort of a lovable type, honest type of bloke, has had an affair with the dead vicar's wife and lied and cheated lying for months.
But that's been the excitement in general, hasn't it? It's been a spiciness to story in the last little while, so it's nice.
Well, in the last few years, Leicester City won the title and Emmerdale have won Best Soap and Best Soap at the...
Brilliant.
Which it never used to do. It always would be a bit like the Liberal Party. You know, you know, people wouldn't vote for it because they didn't think it could win.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the perception of the show's changed very much.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is, you know, it is really good at times, I've got to say. You know, it's a change. You know, when you're saying these things and lying, your natural thing is, do you feel really bad?
Yeah.
So I go, oh, I can't believe I'm
sorry.
Saying this, what an idiot.
You know? Do you remember, I've always enjoyed, it was a superb bit on Harry Hill's TV Burp, where he did he recreated the titles of Emmerdale with some broccoli and a little foil tray. Just went in low over it with the camera, saying, it was really good. It was uncanny.
That show was amazing. It was hilarious. I miss it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously, you don't want to do it anymore, does he?
It wasn't just funny, it was cathartic.
Yeah.
It was really good.
He started off in that late night slot, didn't he? About 11 o'clock at night and then moved.
Yeah.
Been nothing better at tea time.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know if you're going to be on or not. Of course, you'd turn up doing...
shenanigans.
Whatever.
Brilliant. Well, exactly. It was a great relationship with shows like your show. You know, you'd be in it. And it's such a love for it. I love that tone of comedy. To be able to take the mickey out of something while still loving it. You know, it's affectionate.
And it's really nice. That's why we went down and did an ep. My daughter's a big fan of the show.
Yeah.
And she came as well. And it was a Christmas special. And we did a thing. What's he called? Out the Prodigy. I dressed up like him and did that. I said he was setting off fires in Emmerdale at the flight centre. And so I had to dress up as him. And they had a little choir of children.
Oh.
And they let my daughter be part of the choir. It was a really magic day for her.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
It's a great little path, this.
We're right along the contour. Horses on the left. And village down to the right.
And we're right on the border here, three counties.
With Scotland.
Greater Manchester, Scotland, yeah. Yeah. Greater Manchester's just there. And then there's a little stretch along the road here that's in Cheshire, where we famously had some roadworks that were there for 3 years that people kept putting balloons out on them, have you? 3 years, because it was in this 100-yard stretch of Cheshire, they weren't bothered. They never went through it, you know.
Oh.
The gritter stops there, and then we're in Derbyshire just 100 yards further down. But this is a beautiful cinder path.
It's a little bit, it's a little bit Olympics, isn't it? It's like Redgrass. You remember Redgrass?
No, what's that?
Redgrass? I think it was short for red grass. And for 2 years there in the 80s, it was the high-end sports surface. So in games, you go out and everyone would want to go on the Redgrass, and they say, no, you can't go on the Redgrass. Well, it was probably only at my school, but we all thought it was the future.
How do?
Morning.
Well, was it crumbling like this, or was it that hard impacted plasticky stuff?
It was like plastic. I think it was like what they had before they invented that thing where they chop up old tyres.
Have you been to Valencia, either of you?
No.
In Spain? Oh. They call it the city of running.
Yeah.
And it's a fabulous, fabulous city. It's got the beaches, it's got an amazing old town, cathedral and what have you. And then, quite a while ago, 50 years ago or something, they had a flood, and some of the locals were killed in the flood. And so they diverted the river and built a new river. And then, in this 7-mile stretch where the old river was, they've put gardens and running tracks. And so you've got a 5K thing that has got markers every 100 metres with that special red surface.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just beautiful. There's water fountains everywhere, outdoor gyms, and it's full of people running.
Great.
And the marathon's amazing too.
I've heard that
very,
the
very
marathon's
flat.
Good, yeah.
And it's got a great ending. You end at the Museum of Science and Arts, which is these space-age buildings on a blue carpet. Oh, fantastic.
Oh, here you go. Let's do that. Let's all do that.
Yeah. You may have noticed we're going back up a hill.
We went through a little lovely little. We're going to put this. It's got a little bit of tarmac, but it's the classic grass in the middle. Hawthorns closing over the top of us like an old Holloway. We put up some blackbirds there.
Yeah, I've got a little 5.25-mile loop, which I do from the house. Which actually sometimes, if I'm marathon training, I loop. And I'll do 2, 3, and sometimes 4. It makes 21 miles. So it means I've got a loose stop and a drink every 5.5 miles. And if I'm in any state of fitness, I'll try and progressively get quicker. And it's hard because it's very hilly, obviously.
Yeah, wow. And just that moment of stopping at your house and going back out again, that's strong. It's psychologically, that's... Yeah.
It is. Yeah, but the toilet is very near the front door, so it's not such a problem. You've got to go upstairs.
In and out. Yeah, if you get through to the lounge and into an armchair, you're probably not coming out again.
It's a mistake. Yeah, maybe start watching a box set. Yeah, it's not an idea.
I'll just watch Countdown and then that third lap.
Eggs. £1, half a dozen.
They're giving away range eggs. Free range eggs. You see what I did?
I've got a mate who teaches design, and I said, "What? If I'm making a poster, what's the best font to use?" And he said, "Well, it's totally dependent on what you're displaying." He said, "The best example is fresh eggs for sale. What you want," he says, "you want a piece of wood with it slapped on in paint because it makes them look fresher and more authentic, you know."
Yeah. And yet, you so often see it done in some old number plates. That doesn't make you think of nice fresh eggs. Solid black plastic on reflective yellow. Fresh eggs for sale.
Neon would be a problem, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Kind of quite New York. I want some of those late night eggs.
Jackdaws here. We've had a problem in our town. Blamed on the youths of collecting all the stuff out of the bins and takeaways. And we've got a thing called the promenade. Which is like a promenade, but without the sea.
Nice.
Or any fun.
Good, I always think that brings it down. You know, that stuff ruins it.
So, the teenagers are getting the blame for it. And somebody looked at the CCTV, and it was jackdaws. And jackdaws were going in the bins and spilling it everywhere. So,
who is this jackdaw?
To solve it, they got new bins with a lid on. And that sorted it now. It's a cleaner place.
These are brilliant. These, you know, when you match that up with the whole people from Cheshire not fixing the roads, it's all a bit... You've got different local issues, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Jackdaw's called Jackdaw's. Paul, do you know why Jackdaw's called a jackdaw?
At this point, Sooty shakes his head.
Door, it means crow. And D-A-W, not like door. And jack is the little noise they make.
Well, I never knew that.
They can do this kind of... Like that.
A nuisance in your chimney
like that. It's not really like that.
It's a fabulous local pub, the Fox Inn. Look
so
at that.
So stop here for 4 hours and do 2 more laps.
Yeah.
That is really nice.
We have Morris dancers and such like here. We have the quiz here sometimes. It's here in
that
a couple
Fox,
of weeks.
You said something about the Fox Four or something like that. Was it to do with
no,
that?
Yeah, it started and finished here.
Ah, great.
Beautiful 4-mile loop.
Yeah. That makes sense then, doesn't it? Fox
yeah.
Four.
Fox Inn Four.
So, yeah, you were saying about... talking of local stuff that goes on. You were saying about the quizzes. You've got like a quiz.
Yeah, we didn't have a quiz in our town.
Yeah.
And so with a mate, we decided to set one up, but we knew that we're like busy people and with unusual diaries.
Yes.
So we wouldn't be able to do it every week.
Yeah.
So I rang around some mates I'm in a band with.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, I'll do one. Yeah, we'll do it every 4 or 5 weeks. We'll see how it turns out. And so what we do, we go around all the pubs in the town, different one every week, and we do it for a different local charity.
Brilliant.
And you get a varying number of people come, and every week, you know, they'll get £150 towards cricket balls for the juniors or something like that. But that's a lot of money for local charities around here.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you do...
You've done
some of the older TV quizzes for charity as well, which is always good.
As have you, we both have.
We love that stuff.
Oh.
That's just a dream. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We were daydreaming about the Celebrity Mastermind Champion of Champions.
I remember they asked about that. They said, you know, we're thinking of doing it. Will you be available? I was straight on to press office. Can I do it?
Please.
Because it's a bit of a ITV BBC problem.
Right.
Where you're not meant to do stuff on the other channel, particularly if it's on at the same time, obviously, as your show. Understandably so.
Yeah.
And but it's never materialised, has it?
No.
I've gone through sitcoms I wanted to do. 70s sitcoms. I wanted to do Brookside, Books of Edmund Bain, the music of the Beatles, music of Neil Young.
This is such a lovely little snapshot of your mindset. It's great.
It soon became clear that I was the last one to be asked to do it because other people were doing musicians and books and what have you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, well, what subject do I know the most about if somebody stopped me in the street or that I've known? And it was birds. And I thought, you know that thing when you... I suppose like we were running into, if you're under pressure, things just come out because you're used to doing it.
Yeah, yeah,
and so that was the thing with birds, and luckily, I did all right.
You won!
Yeah, as did you.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll be against each other.
I was just imagining you in those four chairs waiting to do it, you know, and the person next to you gets up, you know, Katie Price goes and sits down, and you're chasing special something, the Books of Ed McBain. And you're in the background going, oh,
absolutely.
I wanted Ed McBain! McBain was mine.
Must go back and read those Ed McBains.
Have you done The Weakest Link?
I've not done The Weakest Link. No, you've done that, haven't you?
Yeah, I did The Weakest Link. That was really good. We were talking about this last night. It was really good because of the presence of Frank Carson, because he made it all about jokes. And then, you know, because otherwise, if Anne Robinson just repeatedly saying, oh, tell us a joke, she'd have just been like the world's most, you know, predictable, irritating audience member stroke taxi driver. You know, it's just what people say. But because Frank Carson was telling jokes all the time, like, you know, with every breath, we all stepped up. Everyone had jokes, and it was such a jokey, you know, it's weird. The thing about stand-up is, unless you set yourself up like a kind of Tim Viner or Milton Jones, it isn't really about jokes. But that day it was. And it was great. And then the stuff that wasn't jokes got, you know, went up a notch, you know. I did a very dramatic, deeply painful Comedy 4. Phil Nichol did The Weakest Links, first ever, probably only ever, naked walk of shame. Which is good, talking of TV rules. He did it and everyone loved it and it really went well. And then I said, great, Phil, can we get that again? So it comes out to silence, you know. Cupping himself. Wasn't quite the response the second time. We've had enough of looking at this, Phil. So yeah, that was amazing.
And how did you get on with it? Were you the weakest link, or did you?
Oh, that was the beginning, because I of me doing stuff for my charity for Parkinson's UK, because I won. And
right.
There was loads of money in those days. And also, that one of the reasons I won is because it was such a friendly game. The thing about The Weakest Link is doing it for charity. And also because comedians all knew each other and everything. Everyone's basically playing together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when people go down, they go down. But you're banking, you know. So we banked loads and loads of money.
Yeah.
And there was no sense of getting voted out because you're... And I was worried that you would get... But, you know, in The Weakest Link, people sort of gang up on the person who's winning and vote them out together.
Yeah.
And no one did that, but I kept my head down as well. It was always a bit of a lot of braggadocio, if you can imagine me going on about it a little bit. And on that one, I just kept my head down. and let other people. Like Ed Byrne was playing really well and making all the running, and it felt like he was going to win. But then he went out late on, and it was me and Lucy Porter in the tiebreak.
Oh yeah,
and she's a demon, so it was pretty close. And then me and Lucy did Celebrity Pointless, and we went out in about 1 minute. It was my fault.
What was the question? Which I'm sure you can remember it.
Pointless words ending GLE. Yeah.
And what did you say?
I think I was going to say bugle, which would have been pointless. Yeah. And then I changed at the last minute. I got paranoid and said gargle, which got about 13.
Right.
And then in the other question, Lucy's one got like about 2-3 points. But all the others did great. So it was fairly respectable in the wider scheme of pointless. But we were out. We just went out. Boris Johnson's dad and sister went on through. You know, it was painful. And I'd like to apologise to Lucy Porter right now.
Thank you.
Have you done any other ones other than Mastermind?
What have I done? The Chase I was on.
Oh, yes, The Chase.
Which I really enjoyed. Yeah. I think it's a great show and a concept. Blankety Blank I did, but... years and years ago, and that was again a program that I loved. Showbiz Blackjack. Ooh. lesser well known.
Yeah. Sounds good though.
Didn't know what I was doing, but got a nice trophy at the end of it.
Very good.
They're all gutted because they're all properly played it, and I just sort of guessed.
Well, you know those ones, the gambling games. It can be quite good not knowing what you're doing because you can't be read.
Ah,
I did a Celebrity Poker one once. And no one knows what you're thinking because you don't know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
It's a really handy thing. It's so gorgeous.
Did I just see a dipper? Oh no, it's a grey wagtail there just on the side of the
bank.
We're down by the riverbank now. We've come down off the hills and we're in an area called Mousley Bottom.
There's another one up there, they just joined.
Yeah.
Up.
But we get dippers down here, we get goosander. We've got a problem here with this. What's your Himalayan mountain balsam, which is intrusive, and the trouble with it is it got little pods on, they pop and they get stuck on dogs, and then the dogs spread it.
Yeah.
Not just dogs.
What did you say? It's called Himalayan Martin Balsam. He comes down like in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah.
And he jumps on the back of a dog.
They're great doing them TV, those little TV shows. So I love light entertainment. I love watching stuff like that. I don't really watch much drama, but I love quizzes, I love Bullseye.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got a chance to do Stars in the Rise twice.
Oh.
And we went on that, and all my family came, you know. It was a really magic night, and my Auntie Margaret went, "Oh, Anthony, it don't get any better than this." And she was actually right. It didn't, you know.
So go on, then. Tonight, Matthew, who were you?
Well, I've done two. I did Roy Wood from Wizard.
Brilliant. Is that a Christmas special, by any chance?
It was, yeah. And then we did
Wizard's many other famous hits.
Yeah. And then another beard. We did a duet, which was Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton.
I was in a stream.
But it's not like you think. When you watch on the telly, obviously you go off and you get changed. But when you come out, if you work at theatres and that, I don't know, maybe it's different for comics. But in your plays and what have you, you can't see Hardo, you can't see the audience, you know. It's just,
yeah.
But you came out there, and the audience were lit.
Oh,
she
wow,
just
right
saw
there.
That you walked out, and you feel a bit vulnerable, and they were all just killing themselves laughing, slapping their legs, you know, tears
really?
In their eyes, because it looked so daft.
I was running in Manchester, I was doing the canal between Manchester and Salford, and there was a heron on the towpath. And it looked slightly twitchy as it went past. And basically, I went over the other side and it didn't move. And I was like, brilliant, look at that confidence. Top of the food chain. Knows this bird is the lord of the manor, you know.
Yeah.
On the way back, got scared, flew away. And it flew away, crossed the canal, nearly went to the other side. Came back to my side, landed in front of me. I got to it, got scared, flew away. Flew across the middle of the canal, nearly went to the other side. Landed in front of me. I got to it, got scared, flew away. Oh, come on! Bloody me and the heron just having a terrible time. He was so angry with me, and I was so angry with him.
It's like there's three birds that look like a blackbird in this country. There's a blackbird itself.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's probably more because there's a young blackbird and a female blackbird. But then there's a dipper.
Yeah.
That looks a bit like a blackbird, but a bit fatter, with a white belly.
Yeah.
And we get them down here, and then there's a bird called a ringoozle.
Yep.
And you go up the tops on the hills and New Mills, the opposite side of the valley, And every April, ring eosels pass through.
They're really
And
rare,
you get
aren't
this little few nice. Days where you go for a run with the binoculars and go oozling. Great time of year.
It's right, it's a ring oozle. Oozling. That's the verb.
A little bit of oozling.
Has an oozle got a little kind of yellow ring around its neck? That's why it's a ring oozle, isn't it?
It's,
sort of
it's white.
It's white, okay.
A white collar.
I just had this memory, this was from years ago, but my mum, she's, you know, I'm cut hot on the birds, it's all from my mum. And she said, yeah, I saw a ring oozle once. Or rather, I thought I did. It was a blackbird with a crust caught around its neck.
Came out of that pie.
Very disappointing. Yeah, left the other 23 blackbirds in. The thing about the dipper is, Paul, that they basically fly underwater. They can go all silvery and waterproof. It's pretty impressive.
At this point, Sooty nods his head.
But they dip on the rocks as well. They sort of go up and down like this.
They're basically amphibious, so they're eating insects above the water, like most of the birds you see along the river. They're all eating all the flying midges and stuff. But a dipper can get under the water and eat the larvae and...
I'm enjoying this episode of birding commentary. It's great.
I am. Because normally you can imagine when I start getting on this stuff, he gets that blank look. You know, like the listeners are doing right now.
So running, yeah. 7:25 for the first mile, then a 7:23.
That's it, we're back. But you were saying last night that it's interesting, getting into Tony's trials, that you felt like you'd kind of done your running and then started talking about your running. It was like a sort of next chapter.
Yeah. Well, what happened was Tom got in touch saying Martin Yelling. Obviously, Tom's way up at Park Run now.
Yeah, yeah.
And Martin's like the London Marathon coach and... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the time, they weren't there. And they said, we think, you know, they were doing Iron Man and there's the thing called I Am Talk. Yeah. And they said, we're thinking of doing a podcast about running. Yeah. What do you reckon? I said, well, what's a podcast?
First of all. Idea.
And they explained what it was. It's like a radio show.
Yeah.
But you don't listen to it live. And I said, well, you know, what's that for then?
Yeah.
My advice was, well, don't do it beyond 15, 20 minutes. Because people really lose interest if it's about running. And anyway, they did. I said, do you want me to do like a little package every week, like a little, hopefully funny bit,
yeah.
Just talking about or in the way that Ali G was in the 11 show, or you know, something like that.
Aye.
And they said, oh yeah, well, okay, yeah. And I thought, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I did it and sent it them.
Yeah, yeah.
And and thankfully, they liked it. But you know, when you're starting off doing it.
Yeah.
You've got this great gear. You've got like, we're wearing little funny pods, aren't we, around our heads?
Yeah, yeah.
Little blankety blank microphones.
Yeah, yeah. Two Big Macs, please.
Well, we had none of that, so we didn't know what we were doing or recording or not.
Yeah.
It's all very much stitched together. I mean, I record now on the phone. So I record on my phone, and I'll email it to myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And edit it. And
Edit it.
Yeah.
Techniques.
But it's been nice, you know, it's been nice to... And you'll find the same when you're at races or whatever. Because I can't remember half of what I've talked about, you know.
Yeah.
I do it and I don't always listen. I like doing stuff. I don't like listening to things. And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. So I'll do it, send it off. And then people will quote stuff at you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what's that? I don't even know what he's talking about.
Well, you know, I kind of pride myself on remembering everything. So that, exactly that happened the other day. Someone said, this happened to me and it reminded me of when Rob said da da da. I was like, when I said what?
Yeah.
But that's the magic. You put it out there. And everyone
but equally, it's nice when you've worked hard on a gag and it resonates.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah. But yeah, and also, you were saying you've been that you're in a band with some guys, and you were saying that sometimes Tony's Trials is a musical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did a. Well. I wrote a song. I won't claim to be a songwriter. It struck me that whenever you went to the expo of whatever marathon,
yeah,
people always spoke about the same things. You heard the same things and said the same. You find yourself saying, you know, what are you going for tomorrow? And all these little sayings over and over again. And so I wrote a song called The Things You Hear the Day Before a Marathon, which is all those little snippets.
Yeah, yeah, great.
Yeah, where's the loos? You know, well, I need to get some spaghetti, all that sort of thing. And I'd GarageBand record, or GarageBand, and my daughter sang the female part, and then I made a little video.
Yeah.
And got people to just act out bits of the part.
Yeah.
Went to Manchester Marathon where I was running that day, and then got a few people at work to fill the gaps, and made this like video for it. And I'm really sort of proud of it, because it's not something that I ever thought I could do.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
It's rubbish like, and I was running in London, and I met this couple, and this woman says, "Oh, he's the one who wrote that song, you know, about the marathon."
Is that what's going down
here? Yeah. He says, "What, that's terrible." Now, we've got a treat coming up here.
Yeah.
I've saved the best to last, really.
You said, I'm going to get you doing this, because that's so gorgeous. It needs you for... There you go. There they go. I'm coming. I'm with you.
Very wide, pal. So, coming up here is the big landmark, really, in New Mills, which is the Millennium Walkway. And it was one of the Millennium Projects. It was designed by Stan Brewster, who sadly, tragically died in the London bombings.
Oh, no.
He's got a plaque at the other side. But you'll see now why it's called New Mills, this town. Because of these old mills that we knew at the time.
Yeah.
That are here, and we've got this walkway, which clings onto the wall. Beautiful, which you can't see yet. I should have waited, shouldn't I? Another 35 seconds.
No. It would have freaked us out. We need a bit of warning. That's really nice.
Yeah. Wow. We did a gig with a band here once. We wrote a lot of songs about New Mills.
What's your band called?
Well, we're called White Van Man.
Excellent.
And we did a side project called Right Van Men, where we wrote songs like Brian's Family Butchers and stuff like that. And we did a gig, but they didn't have any chairs. So we had to borrow chairs from our local schools.
In this.
There's no car park anywhere. We had to park them up the top here, cart them all in.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
It doesn't look that new, this mill.
And this is the walkway.
Yeah, you go. I'll catch you up when
Winner.
I get you sitting off. Very good. What a place.
Now do be careful here, because
there they go.
This drain pipe from the railway station comes out of the toilets, and yesterday it was spewing out, as you can see. It's a nice That's little nice. Treat. Adds a bit of excitement to your run.
Keep your eyes down, Paul. You see a dipper down there.
At this point, Sooty shakes his head and uses his magic wand to tap a picture of a park.
Yeah, there's two park runs. One at Marple, 4 miles away, which is a very flat, largely grassy run, bit of trail, really nice. And then there's one at Lime Park, which is a big stately home. It's where they filmed the BBC Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, where's that?
It's just 4 miles away, Lime Park.
Oh, my word.
Now, that is like a... it's more like a fell race, really.
And there's a park run there?
Yeah.
There's a park run where they did run bridge this way. Oh, that's it. We're staying till Saturday. I'm phoning my family. I just watched the 90s Pride and Prejudice with the kids. You know, well, I think they'd seen it a bit before, but we all did. You know, me and my wife did our annual rewatch, and the kids were into it. Oh, just great. Every night for a week, just sit down to dinner and say, what's going to happen next? Oh, Mr. Collins. This is just the best place. And you did save it. You didn't tell us we were coming here today.
Well,
Look at that cliff.
And this is the...
what's going over there?
This is called the Tours. So this is Union Road Bridge. It's called Union because it brought together two sides of the... of New Mills. One side traditionally was in Cheshire, the other side in Derbyshire. And it's a magnificent bridge, right?
And what's on top of it? A road?
A road, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Between the two of them. And then here's where an old mill is, and what we've got here is Archie, which again we wrote a song about in our little New Mills project. And it's a reverse Archimedes screw that's powered by the river. This is the convergence of two rivers, the Goyt and the Set. And it powers the local co-op. So it was a community thing they got together, they put it in. And any electricity that's left goes into the national grid.
So an
Archimedes screw, it's not spinning at all.
Zero.
But it has been very dry.
So an Archimedes screw uses rotation to lift water up.
It comes out of...
In the opposite direction, sends it down.
Comes out of a sluice gate here.
Yep.
Powers the turbine,
yeah.
Comes out of the bottom and goes further down.
But not today
because we've had such a dry period. But in the winter, it's rotating. You can feel it rumble from it. It's a fabulous thing.
That's another good name for a band, Archimedes Screw. Something to think about.
Yeah. And we're going to finish off by going up a hill. And what I've done is, for you two, I've created a little Strava segment called Running Commentaries, Steps of Pain. And so anybody ever runs up here again, I've only set it up this morning.
You successfully avoided Strava until now.
Yeah. I'm sure you can have it on Runkeeper.
The truth will be out.
You're a Runkeeper then, are you?
Yeah, well, I need to measure it. We're very luddite with the whole deal.
Well, I like a bit of Strava. I love it. I love it, you know. I love it for the bike and for...
We totally get it. I mean, it's a brilliant thing. It's just it's just not necessarily for us.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, it's nice to... I'm not a big social media person. I do a little bit of Twitter occasionally. I've got a really private Instagram just for mates. And again, the Strava thing. I mean, yeah. So do it as an effort. All right, we're off. So this is, I don't know, 50, 60 steps and really quite a rise.
Look, he's got a pace.
Oh, he's it. Oh, you're not on it, are you? I'm wasting my time here. You're not on the segment.
We were talking about last night. He said, have you ever vomited after a run?
Yeah.
I said no.
Yeah.
And that's what this is for, isn't it?
Yeah, I have vomited a few times. Ended up in the ambulance once after Blackpool Marathon. And then when it's the Snowdonia, that's a really tough marathon, and I finished, and I couldn't stop being sick.
Oh no.
And I was desperate for a massage, and I kept getting towards the front of the queue. I had to go out and be sick, and I just vomited, and this bloke came up, and I expected her, you all right, mate, so, you know, don't support. He says, do you fancy a Magnum? A Magnum?
I've got a photo of you two coming up there. It's just quietly evident that I've got to the top first.
Well, that's it then.
So good.
Right by the bus station.
Oh, it's great. And here we are. At
New
the Pride of the Peaks.
Pride of the Peaks. I love it. But you never really know what time you're going to do or how you're going to get on. My best time was, I did it 3 years on the trot, and I got, I can't remember one year, but I got 10:51, and then the year after, I felt I was a lot slower. Then all of a sudden, the last few miles, I thought, I might get this, and I beat it by 1 minute.
Ah, so it's a real lesson
just
in pacing.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So you said that you didn't really know, and you got the cycling thing, but what do you think, what kind of time do you want to be playing for in Yorkshire in October?
You know, it's really hard to gauge because I've not been running much.
Yeah.
I think I did 3:45 a few years ago.
Yeah.
It's mainly mechanicals for me in that. I've got a bit of a piriformis problem at the moment. The older I get, the more injuries I get. And I know it's a muscle. I'm going to show you my bum here.
Yeah,
so you've got your glute here.
Wait a minute.
There it is, my
camera
bum.
Ready.
You've got a big bum muscle.
Yeah.
And then you've got a little piriformis muscle which goes underneath
like
there.
A little bridge there, yeah.
And then your sciatic nerve, in some cases, passes through it or by the side of it. And what's happened in my case is I got a hamstring tear years ago when I did a 10K and then I played football immediately afterwards like an idiot. And so it's very tight behind my hamstring and it sometimes radiates up and it gets caught in my bum instead.
See, I've got an interesting challenge because I was pretty much born without buttocks.
Right.
So there's nothing back there. It's just got no glute action. Sometimes I get a little bit of an ache around my hips and once a physio is like, yeah, well, basically your hips are doing all the work that you're missing ass isn't doing.
Well, that and your quads are your biggest muscles, aren't they, if you think about it, so they should be working. What was the stretch I was doing before, and I've got a bit of a thing about stretching, which is this now, we're going past a charity shop here in the middle of town, gold dust in this place, some of the things we've got from there. Got my three-piece suite from there, in the Chazza.
Brilliant.
I can't remember what I'm talking about. I got distracted. Every time I go past that window, I get distracted.
It's a
There's
really
Brian's Family Butchers. Yeah, how are you doing? Good. I've totally lost now.
You were talking about glutes.
Oh, glutes, yeah. So she's given me these exercises. Apparently, you activate your glutes, which stops all the wear and tear going on your piriformis muscle, which is much smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
All I say about stretching, if people ever ask, do you stretch? Not as much as I should.
Yeah.
And that way, you sort of acknowledge the fact that you have stretched maybe at some stage in your life.
You get back off the run, and you think, I'm all done, and you want to get on with your day. You don't really want to spend 20 minutes just standing in an odd position.
You see, I don't believe people who say they like it. I don't get it. You watch these videos and think, ooh, I'm really enjoying this stretch. Are they really doing that, or is it just part of this big agenda?
Well, I don't know. I do quite a lot of stretching. I think that, I've great.
Do you like it?
I've just tugged on my wire, so this could, you know...
I'm on the main street.
Anyway, silly me. It was very dark when we came up this alley last night, wasn't it?
Smelly Alley, it's called.
Smelly Alley. It's not that smelly.
No.
See, the fact that this is called Smelly Alley puts where we live to shame, because there's plenty of perfectly stinking places that don't get called that. Yes, because when I stretch, you know, I think there's an element of enjoying a stretch in the same way you enjoy a massage. You know, if you're doing it right.
Right.
It kind of hurts in a way that you know is medicinal. So you're like, oh, nice. Yeah, that's good. I think that's as close as you get to enjoying a stretch.
Okay. What about that?
It was 5 miles, bang on. Well, 5.17, but we've just walked up the high street.
Well, you said between...
That's perfect.
Do between higher.
It's high.
8 and 10K, so... Are you both in Europe then, are you, for 10K, 8 and 10K?
Yeah, no.
You don't work in miles.
No, I was just trying to talk like people talk. I'm all miles. We're all miles, aren't we?
At this point, Sooty nods his head.
I remember doing Palmer Marathon, it being roasted and falling apart at the end. I had to be doing whatever, fours or something, I can't remember. I was doing 6 minute kilometres, it's just all gone wrong.
I realised during the Berlin Marathon that it's not just, it's 42 point something high, it's like 42.85 or something, it's like, that's 3 kilometres, that's 3 more kilometres. Because I find them, they feel just as long as miles, but they aren't. So it's the exact reverse of what Paul says. Well, yeah, we're just getting back to the homestead. So thanks so much for running with us today.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Running commentary this week star Tony Audenshaw and Rob Deering. The part of Paul Tonkinson was played by Sooty, who is currently appearing at Parkdean Resorts all summer.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.